a brand new episode of the Happy Productive Podcast is about to begin. It's time to be inspired by simple and actionable solutions for you and your business. If you're an established entrepreneur or just laying down the first brick of your future empire, the mantra is the same. We will flip any failure into a positive and use it to our advantage. This show is all about turning coal into diamonds. With the right plan and mindset, anything is possible. I'm Jennifer Dawn, your host, business coach, and founder of Best Planner Ever, and I'm here to help you achieve all your ambitious goals. Success is closer than you think. Let's do this. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Happy Productive Podcast. I'm super excited to dive into a conversation with my amazing guest today, who I actually know pretty well. So I'm really excited to have her today with me on the podcast, Miss Lori Crooks. Lori, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jennifer. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you guys are going to love Lori. She is the founder and CEO of Cadra. And I'm going to let her tell us a little bit about how you came to own this company. And because what you do is really very technical. It's very technical. And as a female working in an industry, a very technical industry that tends to be pretty male dominated, this is something I definitely want to go in to in depth on the show today. But tell me a little bit about, like, how in the world did you come to be doing such technical work?
Honestly, I kind of fell into it. I started going back to school for accounting. I was in college and my first job out of school was in accounting and auditing. And I quickly got tired of crunching numbers. It was too boring. And so I was working for the state of Georgia at the time. And somebody was actually hiring for an IT auditor literally upstairs. And somebody told me I should apply for it. And so I was like, okay, IT auditing has to be sort of fun and has to be more interesting than crunching numbers all day. So I applied for it and I got it. And yeah, I kind of fell into it. Ever since then, I've been in IT. I went back to school to get my master's in accounting information systems and assurance so I could learn more about it itself. And then from there, just kind of worked in some major industries, did some external consulting with some larger consulting firms. And from there, just kind of started my own business. I honestly had some health issues throughout there, and it just kind of made a good point for me to start my own business and do this for myself and for my clients that I love. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. I think you're the first person who I've ever heard say IT auditing sounds like fun. Okay. So clearly you're in your industry that you should be in. And so for those listening who don't know what this is, to give us a high level of like what really is IT auditing?
Sure. So we go into organizations that have obviously security, they have IT, and they need to make sure that they are conforming to certain security standards. There are some governmental standards out there that people have to conform to. So we go in and we make sure that their IT environments are built securely. We make sure that they have security policies and procedures. And if they don't, then we help them either write them or guide them to compliance with whatever security standard that they have to comply with for their clients.
Makes sense. And what kind of companies are you generally doing this for?
We do a lot of governmental clients or those who have governmental contracts. Most of them are small to medium-sized businesses that are just a little overwhelmed with their day-to-day stuff, or they're overwhelmed that they don't understand what they're supposed to do. So those are typically where we try to find the clients and try to help them get through this.
Nice. Okay. And you know, I had read that it's actually a lot of smaller businesses that get hacked. I mean, when a huge company gets hacked, you usually hear about it in the news, but I think that happens far less than smaller enterprises that these people will kind of target and try to break into. Is that total crap or is that like legit?
Yeah, no, it's legit. Yeah, it is because, you know, those smaller companies, they don't have that good basis. They know they have to have, you know, certain things in place. But again, usually those smaller companies, the IT department's wearing multiple hats. So there's not like one dedicated security person. They're doing IT, they're doing physical security, they're doing multiple things, and they just don't have the capability or the time to do all the security things on top of that.
Yeah, I do think that as small business owners, I don't think that we put the emphasis on security the way that we should be, whereas a lot of bigger companies, I think, tend to do this. But sometimes we think we're small, we think we're not vulnerable, but we actually do have a lot of sensitive information that we maintain. And these hackers, they do really target the smaller mom and pop shops because they don't have the security standards in place and they're just easier to hack.
Right. No, definitely agree. You know, you don't think about it, how much sensitive information that you have, especially if you have the clients, you have, you know, their client data. You have to protect it somehow, even when it's dealing with personally identifiable information, PII, so user's name, email addresses, addresses, social security numbers, date of birth, those types of things, even all that has to be protected. And so it's just a matter of trying to understand how you can protect it with, you know, again, in a small business, it is tough.
It really is. It's so interesting that we think that like this doesn't apply to us. And just last week, I have a client who's a therapist, and we actually have several clients who are therapists. And the insurance company that's kind of the go-between that does all the insurance billings just got hacked and like took everything down with it. And so we have so many clients who are just like, all their insurance deposits are all like processing and pending right now. And their businesses are kind of coming to a screeching halt because they can't get their insurance deposits because that company was somehow breached. And so it really is a very real thing when we look at how we are running our businesses, that we do need to really pay attention to security breaches and hacks. And so when you guys go in, you're like auditing a company to determine like where their potential breaches could be. Is that what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, typically we go in, we do a walkthrough, either physical or virtual at this point in time. And if we know that they should be complying with some sort of security standard, we'll pull up the list of things that they should have in place. If they don't, then we kind of go with best practices and we look to see, do you have, you know, firewalls in place? Is your network protected? Are you training your individuals and your users on basic security awareness practices, types of things, you know, because it comes down to people at the end of the day as well. You know, your people need to be trained on not sharing your password or locking your computer when you walk away. We do find that people is kind of where the biggest weakness is, unintentionally, you know, unfortunately, but, you know, it is just the industry and the world that we live in these days.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, so I'm curious, like how many times when you go in and you work on one of these projects for these companies, are you the only woman at the table?
Many times. Yep, many times.
You know, it's so funny. Before I started Jennifer Dawn Coaching, I worked for a very large manufacturing company. And before that, I had started my own software company. But at the manufacturing company, so they did car washes. And so it was like really a very heavy male-dominated industry. And I would be at these meetings and I would be the only senior female executive. You know, the women who were in the company were generally like the administrative support or they were in accounting. Like that's where the women were. Everybody else was a dude. And I would be like the only girl at this table. And I actually really enjoyed it. I loved working with men. I loved being in that environment. I think sometimes I tend to lean a little more to the more masculine side. And so I'm just curious, like for you in this industry, what's it like for you to work in an industry that you tend to be like the only female at the table?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I grew up with brothers, so like I kind of know how to pull up to a table just being the only female. So I think that kind of helped a little bit when I started getting into it and how to respond to other men appropriately. And I think some of my sarcasm and sense of humor, I think, kind of draws them in a little bit to kind of relieve some of that. Why is a small girl at our table and who does she think she is? Type sort of thing. But then on the flip side, you know, you do have those that are like, why is she here? She doesn't know anything just based on, you know, appearance, unfortunately. You know, I've had those instances. So it's been good and bad. But definitely I think overall it's been great. I've worked with a lot of male partners, a lot of managers, and they've been awesome throughout the year. So it's been nice.
So what advice do you have for a woman who's maybe in this position? And we're going to do the men too, because I don't like to leave anybody out. But when you're a female and you're in this position, and there are going to be people who are like, why are you here? What is this girl doing here? She doesn't know anything. And so what have you found to be like the best way to handle that kind of a situation?
It's tough. I'm honest, you know, throughout the years, I've had to learn that it's not me that has the issue. It's their issue. But at the time going through it initially, I was like, what have I done wrong? Why am I not good enough to be at this table? And again, kind of reflecting back, it's, you know, something I've learned. It's not me. It's really from their side. So I would tell people, especially females, you know, if they don't think that you should be at the table, you absolutely deserve to be at the table because you have worked really hard to get there. And it's a reflection on them, not on you at the end of the day.
Oh, I love that advice, because usually as a woman, you have worked really hard to be at that table, and probably harder than some of the other men who are already there.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Okay, so what would you tell the men who show up and go, what's this little girl doing here?
I'd say don't discount them. Listen to their opinions. Listen to, you know, what they have to say. Again, they've obviously worked just as hard, if not harder, to get to that table. For me, example, I have my certs. I have multiple certs that a lot of men don't have. And I have multiple degrees as well. So, you know, just because I might not look the part, it doesn't mean that I'm not appropriate and I don't know what I'm talking about when I'm there.
Right. I think it's so important that we don't judge people, especially based on male, female, whatever, old, young, whatever it might be, that we come into these situations with an open mind. And when we start being all like judgy, we're actually shutting ourselves down to not be able to receive, because we put up that wall, we've judged somebody, and now we can't actually receive what we need to know to be even better at our own jobs.
Exactly. And we all come with different experiences too, you know, and it's important for everyone, like you said, have an open mind, because somebody different than you might offer a different opinion that you never even thought of. And it might be the right opinion, it might not be the right opinion, but at least you should be open to listening to that and listening to their experience.
Yeah, I agree so much. All right. So Laura, you're also a business owner, because it sounds like that you were in corporate and then you transitioned into really having your own business. And so talk to me about, like, what was one of the hardest things about making that transition from being in corporate to having your own business?
Sure. Sales.
I'll be honest.
If I could only pick one thing, it would be, you know, finding those right people, finding the right clients. I have learned over the years, it is really who you know in the industry. So I've built some good connections when I was in corporate, and I was able to leverage those, you know, when I moved into kind of owning my own business as well. In fact, my first client came from the job that I left, because the client needed assistance. And at that point I was getting burnt out of working in the corporate world. And so they said, hey, let's make an agreement. You can go work and be a contractor at this one position, help our client out, and then your own after that. And I'm like, that's fine. That gives me a good start. It gives me a good end. And then from there, it was just, you know, trying to build connections and find the clients and find the work. And it's always a challenge, but it's been an interesting challenge, and one I wouldn't change too much.
Yeah. So interesting. So I had my first software company, and then I sold it, and then I bought a log home company of all things, because I'm like, I want to do something different. And that was ended up being a massive failure. And I shut my doors within a year. And then I found myself in a position where it's like, crap, I got to go like get a job, because I was very disillusioned with being an entrepreneur at that point after I'd lost that company. And so that's when I went back into corporate and was the software division president for a big manufacturing company. So I came in there and, you know, took over their software division. And I remember what they had bought a software company, and it was part of their big manufacturing company, and they didn't know anything about software. And I had grown my software company from nothing. Like, our sales the first year were $300, and I did everything except code and everything else, like sales, installations, training, support, like all that stuff. I had done it all. And I do remember like walking into this big ass company, and it was like, there's your marketing department, there's your human resources department, there's your IT department. And I am like, say what? Like, I have been all of those departments in like everything. And now I was just like having all of that infrastructure and support. It was almost like too easy to be like, oh, grow my division revenues. That's all I have to focus on. Okay. You know, and they're like, you know, the marketing, they're like, yeah, our marketing budget is $1 million a year. I'm like, I can work with that.
I can do that.
Not a problem. Not a problem. But on the flip side, when I found problems in their software, because they'd bought the software company and there were problems there and they just ignored it and they bought the company anyway, because they didn't know. They're manufacturing guys. Like if it had been like, oh, you have a faulty foundation on a building, they probably would have understood that a lot better than, right. Hey, your source code is crap. And they just bought the company anyway. And so when the shit started to hit the fan and we started seeing like, hey, this software has a lot of problems. They didn't know how to fix it. They didn't want to listen to the female in the room of just like, here's how we fix it. Right. That's where it was like that it really became a huge difference between like, oh, I have all these resources and now I'm not the head of the company. I can't really make a decision which is in the best interest of my client, because I knew all of our clients were going to suffer if they didn't fix the software the right way. Right. And they chose not to. And then you've got all the men in the room going, let's just blame the girl who's the president of the company. So she's a perfect scapegoat. Yeah. And now let's not listen to her and how to fix it. And I ended up leaving later, but that was a tough position to be in. But there's something that goes along when it's your own company. You can do right by your clients and you can make those decisions. You're not at the mercy of, you know, other people that might be in the corporation. So I'm just curious with you, like the difference between corporate and having your own company. Have you run up against anything like that where it's just like, as my own business owner, I could make a different decision, that whereas in corporate, my hands were tied?
Yeah, definitely. I think it comes with, I'd say probably the biggest thing is just working with who I want to work with, who my clients are. Obviously in the corporate world, I didn't have a choice. I was assigned to whatever client I was assigned to. And sometimes those were not a right fit for me because again, I was a female. It was dealing with IT. I dealt with a lot of old school IT guys who just weren't as receptive to having a female in the organization, but I had to kind of push through it, work with them. It was like hitting my head against the wall so many times, though, unfortunately. So unfortunately, I got moved off some of those projects because the connection just wasn't there between of us. So I would say it's nice owning my own business to be able to pick who I can work with and who will be receptive to working with me and listening to me. So I'd say, yeah, picking clients.
Yeah, it's really interesting that there's so much that goes into having that good rapport with our clients and being able to really deliver for them at a higher level when we have that rapport.
Yes, agreed. And they're more willing to come back to you too year after year if you have that good rapport and you build that relationship and that foundation with them.
Nice. Okay. So I'm curious, like, would you go back into corporate or do you keep your company if you could do anything right now?
I get asked a lot. There are a couple of people who want me to come work for them full time and I've told them no to years. So right now I'm sticking with it. You know, you never know what the future holds, but I prefer having the control on my side right now.
Yeah. I do too. If you want to fire a client, you can. And it's just like, you know what? We're not a really good fit to work together.
Exactly.
Yeah, very nice. Okay. So talk to me a little bit about, so if you're a woman and you're kind of trying to break into a technical field or a field dominated by men, what are some things that you know now? Like if you could go back, you know, or share it with somebody, like what could you tell your younger self about like breaking into something that tends to be more male dominated?
I'd say education, make sure you have appropriate education. Again, kind of goes back to what we talked about. You know, sometimes you have to work really hard and even harder than anyone else in the room to, you know, show up at that table. So unfortunately, it is what it is right now, but have the education, get the certifications as you can, but also make those connections. Like I said, most of the time I've felt the connections with the men is, you know, just through conversation. It might be having a sense of humor, it might be being sarcastic remarks, just kind of figuring out how they communicate. And so you can communicate similar to them. And then at the end of the day, just remember if there's not a connection there, it's not on you. It's nothing that you've done personally. It's again, somebody else's prior beliefs that are brought into their conversation and they just, you know, can't unfortunately get by them.
Yeah, I actually think that's probably my biggest takeaway from our conversation today is that when somebody else is making those kinds of judgmental remarks, that it's not necessarily about you. But I do also think like that's an opportunity. If you start to feel like a charge, like an emotional charge, somebody says something, but it's charging me up. And I've noticed like, ooh, I'm having a really big emotional reaction to this. It's actually a really good opportunity to do the work on ourselves first. So that way we can go deeper, we can heal whatever stuff is within us that maybe is causing that emotional reaction. And then from there, it makes it a lot easier to be like, wait a second, I've owned my part of this, of, you know, the feelings that it's creating within me, and I've worked on those. And when you do that, I think it is a lot easier to be like, wait a second, is that my garbage or your garbage? And to be really clear about, wait, that's their garbage. It's not necessarily mine.
Agreed. It's taken me a while to figure that out on myself. You know, like you said, I've had to put in the work because early on I was thinking, oh, it's something against me. It's, you know, something I've done. I've stepped online. They don't like me because I'm me. But in reality, again, after putting in some of that work myself, I've found that it's not, you know, not everyone's going to like me. It doesn't matter. As much as I tell myself it doesn't matter, sometimes it still does. But overall, it doesn't matter whether, you know, people like me or not. You know, I'm just there to do a good job. I'm there to build good relationships. And if it works, great. Even if it doesn't, then, you know, they're not someone I want to work with, you know, going forward.
Yeah. I've done a lot of this work on myself too. And I've noticed that like, if it does create a charge in me where it's like, I find myself getting defensive or I find myself getting really, really angry, that's usually an indicator of like, hey, Jen, you probably need to work on that. And when you work on it, then when that person literally says the exact same thing to you, and it's just like, okay, that's interesting. Like you're not having the emotional reaction that goes with it. You're just like, yes. Oh, this is what they said. And now I'm just going to address it. But you're not like in that negative emotional space. Usually that's how I know like, okay, this really isn't my garbage. Or if it's feedback, I can receive it. I can make changes. Right. Okay, good. So for those of you guys listening, if you're like, wow, that charges me up when that person says whatever, ignore the other person for now, do the work on yourself, because that's really the only control we have. But when you do that internal work on you, then what they say, it's just not going to like charge. You won't have that like reaction anymore when you've done the work.
Agreed. And I think that's a great point as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. All right, Miss Lori, tell everybody where they can find you online if they would like to learn more about you and your awesome technical services.
Sure. We have a website, www.cadra, which is CADRA.com. And then you can find me on LinkedIn under Lori Crooks, or you can find Cadra on LinkedIn as well.
Nice. And you guys, we'll put Lori's information in the show notes as well. Security is a real deal. Like, don't just brush it under the carpet for your company. It really is super important to make sure that you are securing all of the information that you're storing. And especially, I think, Lori, you work with a lot of software companies. If you're a software mm-hmm. company and you're looking to do more business with the government, these compliance standards are super important. And so please, you guys, we'll put Lori's information into the show notes. So reach out, talk to her. She's super awesome and she knows her stuff.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today, Lori. Hopefully we have inspired some folks. Hopefully we've inspired some women. We've inspired some men, and everybody will just play nice in the sandbox. I mean, come on, you guys.
Yes, please do.
Please do. Awesome. All right, guys, that's it for today. Get out there and have a happy, productive day. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Thank you, Jennifer.
I hope you found today's episode of the Happy Productive Podcast inspiring. Every successful business is formed by a set of small, consistent, and attainable steps. If you want to learn more, come visit us at jenniferdawncoaching.com to take your next step and learn how to meet your business goals. On our website, you're going to find free resources along with links to the life-changing coaching programs that have transformed the lives of so many of our clients, including the Coaching Academy and our Unbreakable Retreats. Many of them started their journey by listening to this podcast. That's it. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for our next episode.
the She Leads Podcast Network.